Our scripture reading this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians, the fourth chapter, verses 4-9. Let us listen for God's word for ourselves personally, for our community of faith, and for our community around us. Paul writes wonderful words. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. May God bless our hearing and our understanding. Are you all able to hear well enough? Okay. Raise your hand if you can't, because Chip can adjust it a little bit, but we don't want it to squawk either. So were there any words or phrases that stand out for you in today's scripture? It's fairly familiar. We heard it in song a little while ago, too. Marion. Rejoice in the Lord always. Yes. Keep these things in mind and you will have peace. Anybody seeking peace nowadays? Yeah. Any other reflections? Sue?
The Lord is near.
The Lord is near. Absolutely. That's important words. Yes, Chuck. Do not worry about anything, but paraphrase, through your prayers, let God take care of those worries.
Pray instead of worry.
Pray instead of worry. It is a choice. And Ken?
Calmly happy.
Calmly happy. I like that. Let's work on that today. Calmly happy. Anything else? The God of peace will be with you. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, O God, be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Well, Valentine's weekend, there's a story of a couple who had been married for more than 50 years and was asked, "What is the secret of your long marriage?" The wife answered, "Well, when we were married, I decided I would overlook 10 things about my husband because I love him, because he is a good man. I wouldn't let these things bother me. I wouldn't get upset by them." "And what are those 10 things?" she was asked. "Oh, I don't actually have a list. But every time he did something that just drove me crazy, I'd say to myself, that's one of the 10. I like that. When I read those words, I almost closed my Bible. This wife of 50 plus years somehow knew the message of Paul's letter to the Philippians. This wife of 50 plus years had learned the secret to a happy marriage and a joy-filled life, what I'm calling the 10 steps to joy. Now, the Apostle Paul's letter to the Philippians is a letter about joy, which is remarkable when you consider that the letter was written in prison. As we can read in the book of Acts, Paul had been arrested and persecuted for taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, those unchurched people of his day. The Jewish leaders tried to have him killed, but Paul, as a Roman citizen, appealed to Caesar and was taken in chains to stand trial in Rome. So sitting in a jail cell, Paul wrote to the people of Philippi with a message of joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Paul was filled with joy in his association with this church in Macedonia, where the Holy Spirit had guided him in his ministry years before. Remember Paul and Silas, together birthing that church in Acts 16, and then being arrested, thrown into a Roman prison, and then freed by an earthquake following a night of singing and praying. Philippi was a favorite church of Paul's. Apparently, they had sent financial support to help him in his ministry. That may have been part of Paul's reason for writing to them. But Paul also wanted to reassure them that not even persecution, prison, or torture could dampen his spirits or dampen his joy. His imprisonment actually helped in spreading the gospel, helping him to realize that all circumstances can be used by God for good, drawing him thus even closer to Jesus, to the point where he proclaims, "My desire is to depart this world and be with Christ, for that is far better, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you," he wrote to the Philippians. Can't you just hear the joy in his words, the joy of his relationship with God through Jesus? And that's what Paul wants for his church family in Philippi. And that's what I want for all of you in this church family. So Paul lifts himself up as an example for them and for us to follow, so we too can find our joy in Christ Jesus. Now, how many have considered this quandary of Paul's desire to be with God's or Christ's presence, or living longer on earth in order to make a difference in the lives of others? Has that crossed your mind at times? Yeah. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And the peace of God, that sense of total well-being and joy, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Pardon me. Rejoice in the Lord always. And this is how to do that. Number one, let your gentleness or generosity, your consideration for others, be known to everyone, like Paul. Don't confuse yourself by deciding who to be nice to, who to be generous toward. Treat everyone as a child of God. Number two, remember that the Lord is near, that God is with you. In fact, God is already at work in everyone you meet. You don't need to bring God to someone. You find God in everyone that you meet, if you're looking. And hopefully, help them to find God in themselves. Number three, don't worry about anything. Worry is a choice. Pray, Chuck reminded us. It is a choice, so choose. Don't worry. 4, in every situation, pray. Let God know your deepest desires and your heartfelt gratitude. Give your worries to God. Rejoice in the Lord always, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord always, and this is how to do that. 5, think about whatever is true. Does that mean only think about churchy things? Is that the only place that God reveals truth? What about nature in this beautiful place we live? Science, art, music, relationships. Truth can be found in Native American rituals, in Islam, in the youth culture, yes, even in rap music. 6, think about whatever is honorable. What is the honorable response to hatred and intolerance, to politics, to those who dishonor you? 7, think about whatever is just. Seek justice for the oppressed, the weak, and the poor. And that means accepting people as they are, even with their differences, even in our own church family. 8, think about whatever is pure, whatever is godly, holy, innocent, and good. I like to remember the words of Martin Luther King Jr. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Do not respond to evil with evil, or evil wins. Think about whatever is pure. 9, think about whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable. Keep focused on the positive. And then 10, if there's any excellence, and if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things, for they are of divine origin. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul says, and the God of peace will be with you. 10 steps to joy. They're also in your sermon notes listed in there. At least they're supposed to be. 10 steps to joy. Follow Paul's example, and even in prison or places that imprison you, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Follow Paul's example even in those prisons and persecutions of your own life, and know that the God of peace will be with you. The peace of God, the God of peace. Can we even imagine this in our world of high anxiety? But Paul has given us 10 things to think about instead of our anxiety, instead of our own self-conscious fears and concerns, instead of the temptations, doubts, and addictions that keep us imprisoned and separated from the life of grace that God wants for each one of us. I think it all comes back to those 10 things, well, not 10, but that truth described by the wife of 50 plus years. If you keep your attention focused on the bad things in your marriage, in your life or in the world, then that's all you're likely going to see. Your marriage will always be in a rut. Your life will seem to go nowhere. The world will always be a dangerous and unfriendly place. But put those bad things on your list of things you're willing to overlook, and then overlook them. Focus instead your attention on what a good person your spouse is, on the real potential your life has, on the vast beauty and goodness of our world. Then you just might be amazed at how intelligent or good-looking your spouse really is. You might find new doors of opportunity just waiting for you to knock. And you might just catch a glimpse of the kingdom that God is building right here on earth in the most unlikely places. You know, that works right here in the church. Do you focus on the few differences or the occasional disagreement? Or do you focus on the myriad of blessings, of gifts and talents God has brought together in this church family? How will you ever get excited or passionate about God's kingdom vision if you only see human limitations? That's what Paul is talking about in Philippians. Don't look to the mountain of potential anxieties that surround us on every side. Look to God. Walk with God. Pray to God. And again, finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And the peace of God and the God of peace will be with you. That is the road to joy. Just 10 steps to true joy in your life. The question is, what will be your next step? And that's your take-home question for this week. What will be your or our next step toward joy? Will you pray with me? Strong and gentle, loving God, we're so grateful for your promises of your presence, of your love, of the peace, true peace, that is available through you, your Son, through the presence of your Holy Spirit with each of us. We're grateful for the love that we are able to share as a part of this church family, the acceptance and forgiveness, and the positive perspectives that are shared so genuinely. Oh God, help us to grow as people that you call us to be, people who listen to each other, who look for the good in each other, who show their love with each other. Let us continue to walk in the path that Jesus is leading us. We pray in his name. Amen.